at faith very well. Someone, we said that we were coming to Park Lane this Sunday, and someone asked me, "Oh, that's where Pastor Rittmiller is. Does he still have that beautiful curly hair he used to have?" And I'm not kidding. That's what she said. And I didn't have the heart to say no. I mean, we're both a little bit less now than we were. I think that's the truth. We're really glad to be here. We have family connections at this church. My mom and dad, Dan and Jeanette Raffin. I get confused for my dad all the time. I'm used to that. They're in. We left Omaha. I was born here, and we left Omaha in 1981 or 82 or so. And they went to Toledo, Ohio, were teachers in a Christian school there till 1996. And then in 1996, my parents moved to Bay City, Michigan. And that's where they have ministered since, ever since. My dad was the assistant pastor there until his quote-unquote retirement in 2009. But now we find him there more at the church than ever because he's found all kinds of interesting things that he likes to do. Now that he's a volunteer, he can do what he wants to do, and helping and fixing and guiding. They just got a new pastor after about 14 or 17 months without a pastor. So he, on the deacons, with the deacons, was instrumental in leading the church through that time. So anyway, they're doing well. And my mom is still the same wonderful lady she always has been. Many of you probably remember her. I remember this church very, very well. You know, I got an education here in some ways. I remember the very first time that I saw someone light off a firecracker, you know, real, you know, not just at a public place. Some kid, and I think he was, maybe, I don't know if he was with the church or a pastor's kid or somebody, in the back, right back here, during an activity or something, let a firecracker, put it in a pop can, threw it up in the air. I thought that was the most incredible experience I had ever seen. I thought that was so neat. I was just a really little kid seeing that. I thought, boy, what all could you do now? The possibilities seemed endless and limitless. But anyway, and we have enjoyed being back. The last time I was here in 2009 was the first time I had my wife with me, and so you got to meet her then. And what we're doing now is that we're trying to visit all of our supporting churches this summer, 2013, and next summer, 2014. Now, in the regular school year, we'll be back in Jamaica, but we're trying to do our report after 4 years to everyone in that way, so we don't have to miss as much school time. And so that's what we're doing now. And your pastor has graciously allowed us to come for today. And we're also in the area as well because my wife is still working on her master's degree at Faith Seminary in Ankeny, and that's where we were all last week. She looks maybe a little dazed, or her eyes are a little glossed over, because she spent 50 hours this last week in class and working on her module classes. And I joined her for one of those classes just to audit it. And my time, that's a lot of time. My mind was only 25 hours, but anyway, so she's working hard at that. We're working so that she would finish, hopefully, next August 2014. We'd like to have her done. And that would be very strategic for the Bible college. She was able to teach a class this last semester, but she had to do it under the supervision of another teacher who was qualified. So, but if she gets her degree finished, then she won't need to do that, and that would help. That was the first class taught in at least 20 years at our Bible college that was taught by a lady to the ladies, to the female students. And that was really good. That's what we really want to spur on more. And we'll talk more about that tonight. Just want to say thank you so much for your faithful support. That has been tremendous. We have been able to accomplish several things this past year at the Bible College. I'll mention in a minute, but that has been with your faithful support. And even things over and above, we are very grateful for. I have here a record of every Christmas offering you've given us since 2007. You've given before that, but I started keeping record in 2007 to 2012 Christmas, and that has been tremendously helpful. That's what we're using to allow Clea to continue her studies and finish this degree. So we use that for ministry purposes as well, and that is a wonderful blessing. In fact, I just happened to see this last Christmas in 2012 was the largest gift we've ever gotten from you then, and we just really are thankful. One of the things that we're able to work on this semester is something that's kind of funny when you think about it. I don't know a whole lot about construction. I just don't. And yet I was in charge of a building program there, and we finished a library. And you might say, well, we didn't give any money specifically for the library. Let me tell you, we used enough of our general support from you for the library that you can say very, very clearly that you helped with that library. And we're so glad that that's done, and it helps our students to be able to have a resource center for them to learn more about God's Word on their own. And you had a great part in that, and you'll see pictures of that tonight. We weren't trying to do this, but I put some pictures together, and there was just a little tiny little tree growing when we started the building. And all the pictures you can see, that tree is getting bigger and bigger. Now it's over two stories high. That just shows you this building project took a long time, 6 years. And you'll see that tonight. Another thing that happened this last semester, or last year, this past calendar year, is that Clay and I got married again. This was our third marriage. We got married in 2009, once in Brazil as a church wedding. 8 days later, we got married here in the U.S. as our official legal marriage. But then the Brazilian government, in order for Clea to change her name on her Brazilian documents with her new name, they needed to have a marriage document that they recognized. And so marriage and anniversaries you have to have, right? This would be October 23rd of this past year. We went to the Brazilian embassy in Kingston, Jamaica, and had a civil service there and signed the papers, and now we have our Brazilian marriage document as well. I can't read it, but anyway, we have it, and that allowed Clea to get her name changed on her Brazilian documents as well. So our next anniversary will be in August, and we'll have married 4 years, but it'll be our seventh anniversary. Now we're averaging three anniversaries a year. And so, you know what? I wasn't married until I was almost 39, but I'm going to be caught up with most of you before too long with three anniversaries a year. And she likes to celebrate all of them. So we do. And anyway, at this time, I'd like to have my wife come up here and give a testimony of what God is doing. Not only are we involved at the Bible College, but we're also involved in a church plant, and that has more responsibilities with what she does.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be back in the States and to be in this cool weather. It was just getting a little bit too hot in Jamaica before we came. So we are enjoying your winter out of time, and it's a blessing also to be with the people of God. When we went to the mission field, I had some lessons to learn, and God is faithful to teach me, and when I don't get it, He will bring me back and to learn again. But one thing that I have learned is that I can trust God for everything and anything. And He is faithful to do and to give all we need and above and beyond. Many people think when we talk about the mission field, they think about, oh, how hard it is to go to the mission field or something like that. But it's not, because God is with us, and God is providing for us in everything. Matthew 19:29, when Jesus was telling the disciples how hard it was for a rich person to get to heaven, and Peter was just thinking, and what about us? We have left all. And sometimes we do think that we are doing everything. We are doing too many sacrifices for the Lord, and that's just a matter of perspective, because we are not. We know that God is there and God is faithful to do everything, and Jesus is very gracious in the answer to Peter, and in the verse 28 he has some promises for the disciples, and in the 29 is for all of us followers of Jesus. And he says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands of, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Jesus promises us 100 times more of anything and everything that we care to live for him. And it's not hard to live it all, because all that we can do is not sufficient and always required by God, and all is promised because he's promising us much more than we can ever need. And one of the things that we do miss in the mission field is people. We do miss family, friends, especially in holidays. But God is there, and he has given me a family there in Jamaica. I actually have a mother-in-law in Jamaica. When I went there, Ken had been there already for 6-7 years, and he had many connections in church. And one of the persons that we like a lot is his mom. He has a mom in every part he goes. And his mom is also my mom now, and she's very careful to tell me what I need to do. Like she said, she says, you can do whatever you want, but Ken likes this way. And so I see God being faithful in everything. And I just can thank him for everything he has done, everything he has taught us, and everything he has working through us and in us.
Clea has really developed her own social friends and network there, and people that she's close to as well. And you know, when you go to a quote-unquote foreign place, you do really need to do that, and because otherwise you won't stay. You need to have connections there, and I didn't realize that how important that was when I went at the beginning, but after 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I realized, boy, yeah, I have some people there that really mean a lot to me, and that really does help us to be down there. I've been away many Christmases now. You know, well, I never used to, I was single all those years, and I always came home for Christmas, no matter what. You know, and missing several of those now, that's difficult. But you know, God is there, and has given us a wonderful family as well. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. How interesting it was to me that when Pastor read the scripture reading, it's from the book of Psalms. Now, that's not where we're going, but we are going to the book of Psalms. And we're going to go to one of the most common ones, or maybe the most popular one you can think of. It's not Psalm 101. I want to go to Psalm 23. That's called oftentimes the Shepherd's Psalm. Now you have to be a little careful when you go to these very, very, very familiar passages of Scripture, because we already know what they say. And we all have associations with those, and those are nice, and those are good. But sometimes we read over it so fast, we sometimes miss the point of it. And so we want to be real careful about that this morning as we look at this wonderful, beautiful psalm that God has given to us through his prophet David. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we do. Father, it's our privilege to look into your word. Thank you for the ministry of Park Lane Baptist, and we give you praise for what they are and what they have accomplished and what that you have them still to do. We pray that as we look into your word this morning, it will change hearts and change our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as well as I do, there are people out there that don't really deal with life all that well, or maybe just certain aspects of that life very well. You know, there are people that unfortunately escape, to try the method of escape through alcohol, drugs, or even tobacco, that they have to get away. They don't deal with all aspects of life. Otherwise, others characterize their lives through failures, you know, like in relationships. Oh, I'm not good with people. You ever hear someone tell you that? Well, you know, if everybody was like that, we'd have a mess on our hands. And, you know, it takes some effort sometimes, and people do give us challenges, but, you know, that really isn't a good way to deal with life, just accepting failure that way. Or some of us have problems with our reactions in life, either reacting to circumstances, reacting to people. Some people react in anger, and that's something we have to work on. Some people react in withdrawal, and some people react in blame shifting. I know these pretty well, actually, because these are some things that I do. But we have to look at the way God wants us to deal with life. And that's why I want us to emphasize, as we look through this passage of Scripture, we must trust God to face the daily challenges of life. We've got plenty of challenges, don't we? Lots of them. Economically, I mean, if you got something to worry about, if you're looking for something to worry about, we can find that even with our economic system. And if you guys up in the United States here are having your set of challenges with economics, and that affects us because all our sources are actually through here, and whatever the U.S. dollar is in the world, that affects us. However, God has put us in the one place on earth that is doing worse. Their dollar is doing worse than the U.S. dollar, and that's Jamaica. Since January, and we've been working with a lot of groups coming down, and they've sent money down so I can buy material so it's ready for them when they get here. I've not had to worry about the devaluation of the U.S. dollar. In fact, Jamaica's dollar has fallen significantly. Just in January, it was about $84 Jamaican dollars equal one U.S. dollar. And now it's 96, 97, 98 Jamaican dollars equal one U.S. dollar. You may think, well, that's not that much, but you know what? When you're talking thousands of U.S. dollars to buy material, that really did well for the groups that came down, because I don't know what the reasons for all this economic problems is in Jamaica, but that's the way. Or political problems, boy, there's plenty to worry about there. But even personal safety issues. You know, we've got internet now in Jamaica. We give God praise for that. I mean, we had it down there, but I just didn't live in a place where I could access it. But now we do. We hear about things that are going on all over the world, not only here in the U.S., but in Boston Marathon and even some of our friends in England and what's going on over there just recently. You know, this disorganized terrorism is something that can't be tracked and can't be prevented. You know, if you want to be worried about that, that's something to be a concern as well. But you know what? We also have our own daily problems in our lives that we can worry and fret about, or there's an alternative here for us, confronting us in Psalm 23. This is called the Shepherd's Psalm, but it's not just about shepherding. And that's just in the first several verses, but there's other imageries even in this chapter as well. But we must trust God for the daily challenges of life. Why? How do we do that? Well, let's look and just the first several verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." We need to trust God for the daily challenges of life. Why? Because God is our provider. God is our provider, our guider. He takes us where He wants us to go. And that's the imagery there of the shepherd. I used to think when I was reading that when I was a little kid, well, I would hear that, "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I always thought, well, why don't I want the shepherd? You know, I just didn't quite get it, that there's a space there or a, you know, semicolon there, one thought and another thought, and these are distinct thoughts. But I'm going to pick up on this, not wanting the shepherd later on here, but so just keep that in mind. But anyway, you could say that, you could summarize that, "The Lord is my shepherd, what more could I need? I couldn't ask for anything else." God is our complete provider. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's what a shepherd does in providing for the sheep. God is my provider. I do know that He can provide and will provide that which I need. Now there's our truth for today. Are you going to accept that or not? You know, When I think of a shepherd, many people, you think of the Judean hillside and what went on in the Holy Land, and they had shepherds there and taking care of the sheep. We even have a friend that we met a year or two ago who lives in Jerusalem, and he's done a lot of this photography and videography of shepherds and sheep, and he makes videos and that kind of stuff. And that's interesting. That's, you know, that all works. We can see how the shepherd does that. He doesn't take them by the rushing waters because the sheep won't drink out of that. He'll take them to the inlets of the rush of the waters where the water is calm. And also to not just to any grass, not to the brown grass, but the tender green grass, because that's where the nutrients are. That's what the sheep like. That's all really nice. But my personal interest or experience with shepherds and sheep doesn't take place in the Judean countryside. And one time, I was in Calcutta, India. Now, I've, as you've known and are familiar with my ministry, especially before I was married and somewhat even after, I have spent the school year in Jamaica, but then the 3 months of the year when the Bible college isn't meeting, I would go and teach in some other parts of the world. And so I've been to India quite a few times, as well as to other areas around the world, but the northeastern section of India especially. Taught at a Bible college and seminary there. But if you're going to the northeast part of India, which is almost the end of the world, really, you have to go through Calcutta. And I remember staying overnight and then getting up and go to the airport. But one time I was there in the afternoon. My flight wasn't until the next day. And so I walked around. Now, this is Calcutta, India. It's called the armpit of India. It's not the part that most people go to on purpose when they visit India. And it's just a heap or a mass of humanity will be and is one of the top 10 most populous cities in the world, and is projected in the next 50 years to increase. That is, it will stay in the top 10 of the most populous cities in the world. And the streets, yes, there are streets there, but they're just more like ideas, basically, because there's just people set up for markets. It's loud and it's noisy. Cars will come by, animals will go by. It is just a huge confusion. Now, they have the highway system there too, but back off the highway into the maze of streets there, it's a fascinating place because it's got all these British buildings built in the 1930s and 40s that are still there and are in use, but it's in a very un-British kind of setting. And I was walking down the street now, and there's markets, they sell tea all the time in these little clay drinking cups, and then when you're done with it, it's kind of like styrofoam in their minds. They just throw it down, and so the everywhere you walk, you're stepping and crunching on these little clay pots that people have drunk tea out of and thrown away. And they also have stuff they spit out of their mouths quite a lot. It makes their teeth and their mouths red and blackish. But anyway, and that's all over the place. And then you have animals all over the place. And of course, when you have animals, you know what else you have. And you then markets and taxis and trucks and everything. You just can't believe it. And I was walking down the street one day, and you know what I saw? This is what I saw. I can only just tell you. You probably, it was too quick to take a picture. There was a flock of sheep went by. I mean, I'm walking down the street, and then here's a couple of sheep, and then more, and then more, and pretty soon it's all sheep, and then there's all, and then they're gone. I thought, how in the world did that happen? Did I just see what I just saw? And I mean, the sheep were going everywhere, in and out of markets, and in and out of stalls, and everywhere, but they were all going the same way. And how did that happen? I looked around to see who is driving these sheep, and how are they keeping them together? Nobody was driving the sheep. The shepherd was in the front. And the sheep were following the shepherd through this crowded street. They were going everywhere, even in and out of buildings and shops and stalls and whatever. But they were following the guy in the front. You don't drive the sheep from behind. You follow. You lead them from the front. That was an amazing thing to me, to see, wow, that's the only way it could work in a downtown street of Calcutta, that you lead from the front. And you know what? That is the picture I have in my mind of Christ, and particularly, but the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to give me everything I need, and he's going to take me where I need to go, where you have the green pastures and the leading beside still waters. We need to trust God for the daily challenges of life by realizing that he is our provider, he is our guide. Now, I just have to ask something a little personal here. Is Mr. Weeks here today? Can you raise your hand? Where is he, Mr. Weeks? Okay, he's not here today. Well, you tell him when he does get here. The last time I was here, in 2009, got a knock because we were staying in the missionary house, got a knock on the back door on a Saturday night, and it's Mr. Weeks. And he gives me something brand new right out of the package, and it's right here, a GPS. He says, I think you could use this. And then he goes. I think that's probably all he said. I think you can use this here. And then that was it. And we have used this. We got here last night because of this. This is a wonderful guider. It hasn't been updated. You know, you have to update them. But you know what? Even still, it's pretty good. Not infallible, but a GPS is a wonderful thing. I had heard about these things, you know, when I was in the U.S. in and out and stuff. We don't have them in Jamaica, I'll tell you that. You don't have anything like that. But we could use them. But anyway, a guider. God is our guider. You know, as we go through our lives, probably you have come to the same conclusion that I have sometimes. That it seems like I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm in a place that it doesn't seem right, that I don't want to be here. It doesn't seem beneficial for me. And I think of Joseph in the Old Testament when he told the baker, hey, look, I interpreted your dream for you. When you get out of here, remember me. I'm not here legitimately. I didn't do anything to be in this prison. Now, Joseph thrived in the prison. In fact, he rose up to as top as he could go. But you know, it just still shows that even though he wasn't in a place that was easy for him, he rose up, but he didn't have to like it. You know what? Sometimes those places where God leads us, as we'll see in the next part of the scriptures, we're going to question that sometimes. We're not going to like it. But you know what? If we have this firm commitment that, look, whatever happens in my circumstances and what happens to me, God is in this, and I'm going to trust him because he's my provider. And 1 Corinthians 10 assures us, 13, that we're not going to face something that we can't handle. Why? Because God is there. And God is going to help us. God is going to provide for us. God is my provider. Let's keep looking, and it says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those two verses remind us that not only is he our provider, but he is also our sustainer. He is going to sustain us in our ministry or in our life in which he gives for us. We must trust him in facing the daily challenges of life. Why? Because God is our sustainer. When I went to college a long time, you know, I went to Bible college for the 4 years. And then I went to seminary for 3 more years, or 2.5 more years at Faith, and then I wasn't finished with schooling. But all that time, in fact, even after I finished there, I went to another school, and then I started pastoring. And all that time, about 11 years, I was working in a warehouse, a different one in Ankeny, and then later on in Iowa City, and working in a warehouse. That's what God put in my path for me to pay for my education and that kind of stuff. And sometimes it was kind of funny. Now, there would be people that lasted a long time, like me. In fact, when I worked for 6.5 years in Ankeny, every January was a big deal because January was the purging month. Our business went down, and so they would go through and actually do some purging. That is, the guys that weren't producing that much, they would kind of have a progression. That is, They would take you off from selecting the product that goes on the we ship meat to all the Hy-Vee companies. So they would take them off that kind of work and put them on the dumpster work. That means that if you're at the dumpster, you took the dumpster on wheels around everywhere and cleaned up the place. And you knew that if you had that job, you were on your way out, because that was just a start of the end for you. And many guys realized that would happen, and they would get out. Not only was that a dynamic that was going on, but also we'd have new guys coming in all the time, particularly for in the fall months as we geared up for the Christmas holidays as the business increased. But these guys that came in, we'd have trainers, and I was part of that a little bit, and we'd have some that, it was heavy work and stuff, so you'd be throwing meat boxes, but the guys that thought, "Oh, I can do this. This is no problem. This is easy. You know, I can do." You know, but we would caution them. It's not the guys that are throwing boxes a million miles an hour at the beginning that count. It's how fast you're throwing them at the end of 8 hours or at the end of 10-hour shift. How well are you doing? Are you just going to be fast right now and then you quit and you don't got anything left for the last 6 hours of the shift? How long are you going to be able to sustain the pace that you set for yourself? And some of them, first day of work, find out how it is, they'd go to lunch, and they never came back. We'd all laugh about this. Sometimes we'd joke about it and say, one of the trainers say, "See that guy I had yesterday? He never came back. I knew he wasn't going to make it." He was no sustainability there. You know what we need in our lives is that we need to trust God that He is going to not only lead us where He wants to go, He's our provider, but also He's our sustainer. And you know what? There is a source of power there in our spiritual lives if we will use it. How many people wanting to do some athletic feat of some kind, maybe walk 20 miles or do whatever it is, run a marathon, whatever, would do so in a way that you wouldn't take any nutrition to get during the time of your training? That would be foolish. What if you ate just junk food all the time? It's not going to help you accomplish your goal. God is our sustainer, and we as believers, if you're a person here this morning who knows for sure you're going to heaven when you die, why? Because you have put your trust for the forgiveness of your sins in Christ's death on the cross. You are a believer. You have a power source. You do have a power source, and you can tap into that power source. The Holy Spirit needs to work in your life, and you yield to Him by your commitment to His Word. God's Word is our power source. How are we going to yield to the Holy Spirit's work in our life if we're not connected to His Word? That can't happen. That is a bad thing. That's something that we're not going to have any sustenance. We're not going to be around when the dust clears at the end of the day. And if you want to, if you're realizing you got to do better at trusting God for the daily challenges of life, realize He's your provider, but He's also your sustainer. That requires you to plug into what the power source that He has for you. You know, a spiritually bereft or bankrupt Christian is not going to be one who allows the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. We need that daily commitment to God and His Word. And then let's go to the two verses we skipped. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." This still could be the image of the shepherd going through this, where he is leading his sheep through this place that looks pretty nasty. It's these narrow caverns and canyons in Israel that were there. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's an interesting verse there, because there are several things you could fear from these narrow caves, valleys and canyons is what I'm trying to say. And that, first of all, is wild animals. Now, there isn't too many animals left there nowadays, but there was. I mean, we knew that lions and even bears and stuff lived there back in biblical times. That could be a problem. Also, because it's dark in there, you can't see what's going on and what's really there. Bandits could be there to rob you. And then one thing else I was reading on this passage that could also be a death trap for you is water. That is, you have these flash floods and they could fill up instantly for not very long, maybe only 20 or 30 minutes, but that's certainly enough to drown someone. And so those kinds of things could make this a very dangerous situation. You need to trust God for the daily challenges, for facing the daily challenges, not just facing them, but succeeding in them. You've all seen these people that are happy no matter what. You just think, well, how can, man, they must have a perfect life. You know what? Nobody does. It's only the difference is that they've been able to allow God in the work in their life to rise above their circumstances. But God is not only our provider, God is not only our sustainer, because, but also because he is our protector. The valley of the shadow of death, a place of suspense and danger. And with that came the fear. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now the rod was there to protect them from, you know, like a club from wild animals. And we know that in David's experience as a shepherd, he needed that. The staff was there to guide the actual sheep. Nope, don't go this way. And you take this, the staff, and you yank them over, and you know what? That sheep will learn eventually. That's not where he needs to go. So it's, there's two things there. Not only the protection from danger, but also the keeping me in line, that guidance there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is a banqueting setting now where enemies are there, but they can't do anything to you. God is your protector, our guider, and the one who is going to keep us throughout these difficulties. Now remember we said, I shall not want. You know, this is the idea of God being everything we need. I don't lack for anything. What more could I want? You know, it's that idea. But I thought of that too, and I just thought of what if we took each one of these points, God is my provider, God is my sustainer, God is my protector, and we put that I don't want in there. You know, if you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you may be in a position where you know you need to trust God to provide for you, but I don't want that. I want to acquire that which pleases me. I don't want to be satisfied with what God, you know, clear waters, tender grass. You know, that's not for me. I know what's best for me. I'm going to go my way. You know what? There's sheep that do that. And if they get away from the flock, usually they die. Unless the shepherd is willing to leave all the rest of the flock and go after them. And we have that kind of a shepherd. But you know what? We could say, oh, I want to acquire that which pleases me. I don't want to be satisfied with what God has for me. Or God is my sustainer. And we say, I want the sustenance that pleases me. I'm not wanting this, you know, this daily regimen of spirituality that is too difficult for me. I want that which pleases me. Or God is my protector. No, I don't want that. I want to go where I want. God is keeping me from the places that I think are important. God is keeping me from the places that I think are fun. God is keeping me from the places that I think will satisfy me. And you know what the truth is? That is so foolish. God is protecting us from that which we should not be involved in. We have a great God, and that is illustrated in this psalm. And you know what? One of the best things about this psalm, verse 6, as I said before, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a wonderful promise for those of us who are believers. Actually, David had a covenant promise for this, but you know what? This promise is similar to what a Christian can experience, is what's said very clearly in the New Testament, even in Hebrews 13, verse 5, or other places like that, where we can count on God's presence all the time. But you know what? If you're here this morning and you have not trusted in Christ as your Savior, none of this applies to you. There is a great God. He is a wonderful provider. He is a great sustainer. He is a fabulous protector. But He isn't yours, because you haven't trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You're not a believer here this morning. Is that your situation here this morning? I urge you. The Christian life is not an easy one, but it is a wonderful one. And God has rewards for us. If you're not a believer here this morning, let me tell you, you are missing out. And I urge you with all speed, make that decision today, if that's your need. make it today. Come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor afterwards. We'll be glad to take a Bible and explain to you what the Bible says you need to do. You need to realize you're a sinner. And Christ has come to take away your sins by dying on the cross. And he also not only just left it there, but he rose again. And he promises us eternal life. And he demonstrates that by conquering death himself. Our God is a great God to protect us, to guide us, to sustain us. If that's your need, why don't you make it today? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word, for Psalm 23, and how the many ways we can understand what you're telling us through this psalm. And we just praise you for the reminders that this psalm is to us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.